Gather to hear God's word and to fellowship together, but the main focus of this time, this hour, is the worship of God above, the great Jehovah. And so as we break forth his word, the bread of life, let us do it with a concentration of heart, mind, and soul. So remove from your mind any distractions, anything that may carry you away from this moment, because God's word has a message for us. Your Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've had such an excellent study in our Bible class time, beginning to approach this great book. And when we think about the essence of what God's people are about, we're about first and foremost the foundation of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. A foundation can be strong. It can be as a rock. For Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, the rock that the wise man built his house upon. It can be a foundation that's easily disturbed and weak and false, as in the rock or as in the sand with which the foolish man built his house. In particular, when we obey the gospel, when we're added to the body of Christ, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and following, we are added to the right foundation. When we hear the truth, we leave the same, repent of sin, confess that Jesus is Lord, and then we're immersed in water. We begin our life anew, and we stand upon that foundation, a foundation of the gospel, the good news, which was laid by Christ. And when I stand upon something good, I feel good. Amen. That's not unusual. When I know that my foundation is safe and solid, it feels strong. And I preached for many years in the state of Tennessee, in the city of Chattanooga. There's some beautiful museums. And one of the museums is a great aquarium. And near there is an art history museum. And at the base of that museum is a walking bridge, and near its highest building is another outcropping. And you can go up on this little outcropping and you can stand. And when you look down, there's nothing under your feet because it is a clear plexiglass, some type of very strong, what's that word? Clear, right? Translucent. That's what I was looking for. Where you can see beneath you. Now you don't see the foundation. And you may walk up and think, is that going to hold me? But when you see other people standing there, you know it's been tested. You know it's a good foundation. And when you go and stand under, you feel good because other people stood on it before you did to test it out. I wouldn't want to be the first one to go test it, but I'm glad somebody tested it and they felt like it's safe enough to hold a person walking. The gospel of Christ is that foundation that has been tested. Amen. It has been proved, if you will, as the word which came by inspiration was proved. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. We too stand on that foundation, and that foundation helps us to see. It helps us to see. The light of the gospel opens up that light within us that we see in a way that we cannot see without his word. And that sight, that insight, if you will, is what I want to focus on this morning. Talking about vision, and you hear a lot about vision. A business can have a vision. It can have a mission statement. A school, a sports team, even a neighborhood. It has kind of become a euphemism for a central theme, a central thought, a purpose, if you will. But God gave man a purpose, and that is to spread and live by the gospel of Christ. When I become a Christian, I take on that vision, the vision that God has for every human being, that we become a part of his family. In that vision, we must be a people who remember that we will give account for the matters of this life. Look at Luke chapter 15. We'll come right back where we were. Luke chapter 15. We give an account for what we do and what we think and what we say. And it's recorded this way. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, and he answered his father, "Look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, who has fattened the calf, you have fattened the calf for him." He said to him, "Son, you are always with me. All that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." We count the cost of matters. In this context, it was such an abstract thing to see these great things done, but the father had weighed the cost. You see, the one son just saw the expense, and he didn't see it as really having any purpose or worth. But the father knew the worth. He knew a soul that was found was worth celebrating. The father could see what the older son could not see. We as a people of God can see the world in all its glory, and yet the Bible helps us to see that following after the way of the world is a waste of a Christian life. It's the waste of a Christian life because the Bible tells us, it reveals that those things don't have real value. It's the soul. God laid the foundation through his son, Jesus Christ, with the value of our soul. He gave his life on the cross for you and for me, and he did it out of love. He didn't do it out of spite. He didn't do it out of jealousy or envy. He didn't do it to manipulate us or try to direct us. He didn't sell us on it, then not to reward us. He gave it freely. We as a people follow after the vision that God has for us. Everything we do, when you think about it, as a vision. When you get married, you make a plan for your wedding, for the celebration, for the reception, for the honeymoon, and where you're going to live. It's something you have a vision for your career. You will have a vision of where you're going and how you're going to work and what you're going to be doing in the field. You have a vision for your life, for your community. Do you want to live somewhere where every house next to you has weeds and you're the only one cut? No. I have a vision for the community. I want to be able to walk out to my car and not be accosted. I want my children to be able to play and not feel like they're going to be in danger. I have a vision. And we use that. We apply that. Now think about the church. There's a vision to how this structure came to be. Somebody had in mind a church in Frisco many, many decades ago. Somebody had in mind an addition to the back of this building for fellowship, for teaching, and it was brought to existence. Just as we have those visions and we're going to be held accountable, whether that vision comes to fruition or whether it's in vain. We know that God says the same of our work, whether it's our mission work, whether it's our benevolence, whether it's our evangelism, or whether it's our Christian living. God says, "I'm going to hold you accountable. You must give an account." So then, be careful how these passions, how your life is going to be viewed by God. Why? Because he judges everything we do. Amen. Everything we do. We know nothing is hidden from God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 13. And because it's not hidden from him, I know he sees with insight. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So think about this. What makes us, or what decreases our desire to be a people of vision? Well, first, it can be just lack of thought. I don't think about it. You've heard it preached before. People will take on their suit, put it on, put their dress on, come to church, put that suit in the closet, put the dress in the closet, and they don't think about church again until next Sunday. No thought. No forethought, no financial thought, no physical thought, no emotional plans are made toward the church and what it ought to be and I as a member of it. the very idea that God gave his son to die and purchased us to be a part of his body, the kingdom, which is the church, tells us we are a people that are well thought of. We ought to have that passion then for our future. We ought to have that passion to say that the future of the church is bright. We don't base our offering on a budget. We budget based on the offering. Amen? That's different. Why? Because you don't give to this group of small men who will take all the money and decide and make these decisions. No, you give to the Lord. And we manage those things as honestly, with decency, and with respect to who it is given toward and who guides us and making those decisions, how these funds are going to be used, because it's God's vision, not ours. When we walk contrary to God's vision, that's when we walk in selfishness. That's when we do those things that help us feel better. That's when we do what's easier for ourselves. But when God is the one who's in charge of the vision, you can see how faith guides those things. Then we begin to understand that our very existence is about how can I bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Remember that? That's what John the Baptizer preached when the Pharisees and Sadducees and all came and said to him, "We have Abraham as our father. You're not preaching to me." Be careful. Be careful. God could raise up stones as children of these Abrahams. Don't hang on the promise, New Testament, Old Testament, Jewish nation, that God made the promise to Abraham he would bring forth a great nation. He would be the father of many nations. Don't hang on that promise and think he's going to ignore you. He's going to look over your sins. He's not going to judge your actions, thoughts, and intentions of the heart, because the word of God tells us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that's exactly what the Bible does. It judges us. It guides us. We can turn to it for hope, or we can turn to it for a lack of it. But the message is true. 2 Peter 1, 3, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, what will I do? God looks down at us and he says, here's this untapped potential of my people. I'm going to give them the instruction. I'm going to give them the wisdom. They are going to add fearlessness. Us, we're going to add faith. And when we work with faith and fearlessness, we have a plan that many times accomplishes great things, far greater than any other organization under any other name other than Christ can accomplish. How do I know this? Because all of these things have stood against God's foundation and they have failed. False doctrine. They tried to break the foundation, couldn't break it. The wealth, the power, the influence of men, it can't break that foundation. Racism, it can't break that foundation. Poverty, health problems, world tragedies, nothing can break this foundation because it's laid by Christ. And when I have vision on that faith, when I have faith in that, all those other things fall by the wayside because those things came in generation before me and generations before them, and they failed. But one thing has withstood. One thing and one thing only, and that's the word of God. That's where our faith is. That's where our confidence is. That's our resources. That's where we get our understanding. That's what moves us forward. And because we move forward by the signal that says, you go out unto all the world and preach the gospel, that message that was given over 2,000 years ago still is to be heard and yield it today, and it will win the hearts of those. What does God need then? He needs us to be unafraid. Amen. Part of our hope is I don't have to have that fear that this is just going to fall by the wayside, that my generation is going to be the last generation to stand on this and then it's going to fail. No, it's withstood the test of time. So my vision is upon something real, even though I don't see the fulfillment of it. Think about the little babe. And his mother sees the world as it is. And yet, she has faith to take that little babe and put it in a little boat and lay that little babe in that little boat on a river. And that babe is going to flow down river, and the daughter of Pharaoh is going to pick that babe up
She didn't know that that babe was going to grow into the man Moses. She didn't know that Moses was going to be the champion of Israel. But it started with her faith. It started with her faith. She had a vision. Although she couldn't see all the details, she didn't know all the ways that the path would twist and turn. She knew it would lead to victory because of the one who gave her the vision. That's God. The early New Testament church, they didn't see everything that was before them. But on the day of Pentecost, they saw the vision. They saw we can be forgiven of this terrible sin. We've crucified the Messiah. We stand guilty. We're going to repent. We're going to gather with these men with whom we've seen this miraculous message given. And now we're going to live it. We're going to gather with them daily, breaking the bread. We're going to share what we have to those that have need. And we're going to live in fellowship. We're going to walk in truth. We're going to be a people after God's own possession. Let's go back to chapter 3 again. He says, verse 10, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. I laid it. Who gave him? Christ. How was he a skilled builder? He began to live according to that vision. When the Holy Spirit said, go over to Macedonia, he went. When it cost him his body, three times beaten with rod, he took it. When it cost him his very existence, his physical stamina, being scourged three times, he took it because he had a vision. It is not going to end here. I can see beyond the right now. He was building upon it, that foundation that he knew was true. He says, let each one then take care how he builds. This is an appointment that we have. We have been appointed to this place. How? Well, the gospel message tells us if we hear the truth, believe the same, we become Christians. And we become Christians, we stand on that right foundation. Pause there and look at Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. That's where we'll begin. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23. You've heard it. You've heard it preached, you've heard it in Bible class, you may have even had your parents tell you, or your grandparents tell you these words, whatever you do, work with all your heart heartily, the ESV says, as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. You are serving, I am serving the Lord Christ. So everything I do with this vision in mind, I do it with all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. The love of God is not an empty love, amen? It's a love that motivates me to do something, to action. I am going to step out, and I believe I can do it because he has said I can. That's why I have a vision for my life. And as it fits intangibly to the will of God, I am going to continue to faithfully obey his word and follow after it in every area of my life, whether as a husband, whether as a father, whether as a servant, whether as a preacher, whether as an elder, whatever your role, that's what we're doing. We're doing it not for our glory, but for God's. A church with no passion, with no purpose, with no goal is a dying church. Pandemic destroyed some buildings, but it didn't destroy the church. Some buildings are sold, some buildings are empty, but the church is not. We have to have that kind of passion. We have to have that kind of goal in mind that we are going to be God's people now with the renewed opportunity. Now we can gather together. Now we can fellowship. I'm going to take advantage of what God has given now. I'm not going to say to myself, well, I've got more time now. I'll do it later. I'm not going to say to myself, well, I'll think about it, Lord. Then I'll get around to it. No, I'm going to have that enthusiasm to say, you've given me today. Let me use today, right now. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. I have right now to do everything that God calls me to do. How does God look at a church, a congregation, that has enthusiasm? How does he look at one that lacks that passion, that goal, that enthusiasm?
It is incredible that God has given everything to our congregation here at Frisco. One of the greatest missionary works, one of the soundest and largest producing preaching schools in West Africa are in Cameroon. Over 200 gospel preachers, 200 plus now, with this previous graduating class, that are going out and taking the message throughout the whole country. And we are the source, we're the seed, supported by brothers and sisters. It's not us, it's God, but it took a vision to do that. Same thing as the congregation here in Frisco. How we have grown, how we have nurtured, how we have strengthened, how we have helped our brothers and sisters to be restored back to the truth, baptizing those who did not know the truth. And now we are growing, we are thriving, but we can do more. The devil wants us to say, we've done enough. He wants the worker to say, time for a break. Dare I say, my union mandated break. I can say that honestly. I work for a union. The devil wants to say it costs too much. The devil wants to say, I don't have time. The devil wants us to say, growth brings problems. The devil wants us to say, nobody cares. We can't listen to any of the devil's messages. We have to be the people who says, I am going to show forth Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll come right back. 1 Corinthians 13. We talk about showing forth Christ. Paul illustrates it here in 1 Corinthians 13 in such a beautiful way. If you think about this from the standpoint of love and how he describes it. Beginning at verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoiceth with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends or fails, King James. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for miraculous gifts of tongues, they will cease. As for miraculous knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part that which is miraculous. I'm paraphrasing to emphasize what he's describing. But when that which is perfect, the partial shall pass away. The fullness of time, the time when the word would no longer need these miraculous confirmations, it would be spread. That's us. It has come upon us, upon our time, upon our generation to be that people. Now he says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I become a man, I give up childish ways. We are now had the truth given. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. For I know in part, then shall I know fully, even as I have been fully known. We have been consecrated by the gospel message to see that our vision is not selfish, it's not empty. It has a power behind it. Just as Paul says, we are his people. The Old Testament message, the sheep of his pasture. Amen. God gave us this power, this vision. And it's similar to how when we look in the mirror and don't turn away, if we recognize those things that need to be changed, we change them. Or it's futile. We don't waste our time showering, dressing, preparing ourselves to present ourselves as if we don't care. All those things we do is because we do care. Because it's important, the image that we portray and that we project of ourselves. Why? Because if it's the image of Christ, it must mirror the truth. Quickly, we can do great things. We can do great things. But it takes hope, faith, and trust. One of the beautiful things that's been happening among the body here at Frisco is our prayer meeting in the afternoons. We take the time to pray for those that are in need of prayer. We take the time to pray for one another. Every Sunday, I offer a theme for that prayer meeting. We gather together, and although we are together from a digital standpoint, We're one in the spirit in the event we're not in the same physical place. There's one thing we do understand. The fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We're not going to accomplish any of these things without prayer. So right now, I just want us to take 2 minutes. 2 minutes. And I want you to silently pray to God about what is your vision. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are so hopeful and we are full of the light of your love. We can see in ways now through your word that were not possible to be seen because at one time our lives were focused upon the things of this world, the cares, the anxieties, the worries, the envy, the jealousy, the conflict, the anger, the violence of this world, and all of those subtle temptations of Satan that are put before us when we lack that love that is not boastful, that love that is not prideful, that love that does not hold grudges, that love that gives everyone the benefit of the doubt, that love that is easy to forgive, that love that is patient, a love that is full of compassion. We're striving for that, Father, because we know that a part of your vision for this world involves us being a people of vision. We know, Father, that we do fear. And we can fill in the blank of what those fear is in our individual lives, those things that hold us back from being hopeful, that hold us back from being enthusiastic, that hold us back from looking to the goals that we can plan and that we can accomplish by trusting in you. Father, that's not our desire. We want to be a fearless people. We want to stand on faith, not knowing the outcome, not knowing all the details, but understanding that planning in accordance with your will, that we can accomplish great things. We want to be a joyful people that look to this new opportunity that we have where we can worship face to face. We can gather together. We can be connected in a way that we have not been. For even as it has been illustrated, when we watch worship, it's like watching a picture of a fire on a TV screen. You can't feel the heat of it. Can't feel the warmth. We're so thankful to be able to feel the warmth that we have being in this place this morning at this hour. We don't take that for granted. Help us to see it as an opportunity to do more, to give more of our means financially, to give more of our time, to give more of our heart to you, to be more dedicated and committed, because we know this is a privilege. We know, Father, that you promised that we will see the glory, that we will be changed in an instant, but we must build wisely. We must not let the cares and the philosophies of this world, the reasonings of being a success by money or wealth or health or by possessions, help us to not lose sight of the home for which we are traveling to and get settled and comfortable in this home.
because we know this home and this earth is only temporary, with its problems, with its struggles, with its grief, with its pain, with its loneliness. We know, Father, that we have the hope that we do look for a kinder and a more beautiful place, a place in this world, but also the place beyond. We know, Father, with seriousness of heart, as serious as we can think, that you judge what we do. And we want your judgment to find us right, to find us righteous and faithful to you. Help us, Father, so that we can be that people that you can say, well done, good and faithful servants. That we can enter into the joy of our Master because we've lived according to the principles of the gospel of truth. We say that asking forgiveness because we do fall short. We do give in to temptation. Help us to continue to grow and to learn from our mistakes. Learn from those times of trial and struggle so that not only we gain wisdom and understanding to avoid them in the future, but we can help those of our brothers and sisters who are struggling, and that we can move forward with the hope and with the renewed vigor that our future is bright because we belong to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The lesson is yours this morning. Whatever you need, please come as you stand, as we sing.